I will never forget what it was like to step foot on soil beyond the borders of the United States for the first time. This happened for me as a college student while I was traveling for a semester abroad. And I remember landing at the airport in Cairo, Egypt, and hopping on a bus almost immediately and having that bus take us to downtown Cairo, right to almost the very front of the hotel that we were staying in. And I remember this sudden feeling of exposure and vulnerability and fear and uncertainty welling up in me, just in the simple fact of being a stranger. Cairo is an incredibly crowded, busy place. There are people everywhere. There were unfamiliar sounds, the call to prayer erupting from the mosques, the Arabic language spoken on the streets, the smells of foods that I was unfamiliar with, and spices in the market, the fact that there are no traffic lights in a city of like 50 million people, and people just know how to navigate the road, bargaining in the market, the fact that there aren't set prices for things. I remember stepping off of that bus onto the sidewalk and tons of people going in both directions and just taking a leap of faith, jumping out of the bus into that sea of people and somehow feeling welcome there. The experience of being a stranger in a strange land runs very deep within the ancient Israelite story. The Israelites themselves were strangers. They were slaves in the land of Egypt. And we know the story of Exodus. We know how they were rescued. Moses then leads them through the wilderness between Egypt and the promised land that they have not seen yet. And while they're out there, they receive the Ten Commandments. They receive this law. And this law helps them to be formed as a community with a culture and a code of conduct, despite the fact that they had no borders. They are being formed as a people. But the borders are coming. Our scripture today from Deuteronomy comes to Moses at a time when the people are on the verge of entering the promised land. They can see that before them. And that nation of theirs is forming. Deuteronomy essentially builds upon the essence of the Ten Commandments. It fills in the blanks. It fills the gaps. It expands on them. And Moses, who is leading them, will not cross into the promised land. But in the way that these laws anticipate the future of Israel as a nation, as a people, with borders. Now, at the very heart of the law, at the very essence of how Israel is called to live as a people, is God's commandment to love the stranger. And that command is rooted in their experience in Egypt. They are commanded to love strangers, to welcome them, to provide hospitality and food and clothing. You shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt. Truthfully, you would be hard-pressed to find a more consistent biblical theme than the call to love the stranger. It is present throughout the entire biblical narrative, from the Pentateuch stories of Exodus and Deuteronomy, through the prophetic books of Jeremiah, Isaiah, Amos, Micah, and so on, to the words and actions of Jesus, who calls us to love our neighbors, our enemies, and the strangers among us. And that rolls right on through the epistles of Paul and the early church. And as Paul writes in our passage from Romans, love is the fulfilling of the law. That's the defining ethical message of the New Testament, the central message of Jesus and the Apostle Paul. And it's a big part of the purpose of this Christian community that is forming. The law of Moses, the Jewish law, gives the people an understanding of what not to do, kind of in a negative sense. Do not, do not, do not. But as we journey into the New Testament, this gets flipped around, and then we get an understanding of what to do. Do this, do this. The law is fulfilled in the act of reaching out to others in love. Love is what we are called to do. It's just like what Jesus says at the end of his Sermon on the Mount. Do not think that I have come to abolish the law of the prophets. I have not come to abolish, but to fulfill it. And Jesus shows us that it is fulfilled in the act of love. But when I reflect on what it means to love the stranger, I am challenged, even convicted, by the reality that I struggle to do this in my daily life. I've gone on a ton of service projects where you get to go out and serve all day long for an entire week. You devote a whole week to it. I guess that many of you have had that experience too. And that's very nourishing for us. But I struggle to see an active and real commitment to this in my own daily life. To be honest, sometimes I have found myself experiencing God more, being closer to God more, when I am being served by someone else and receiving their hospitality than when I am serving. And this isn't to say that service isn't important, but I do think that sometimes opening ourselves up to being served by another and receiving their hospitality teaches us things and shows us things that we may otherwise miss if we immediately assume the role of being the one who serves and gives. Does that make sense? I think those of us who are shaped by the Mennonite world sometimes struggle with this, truth be told. One of the first jobs that I had after I graduated from college was in a group home for folks with developmental disabilities, a place called Turner House. And there were about 12 people who called this place home and about, I don't know, four or five of us on staff. And I enjoyed this job a lot. Service was built into my job. So for 40 hours a week, I was doing service. And one of the things that I did every day was I made dinner for the whole house, staff and residents included, every night. But one evening, one of our residents, a man named Junior, came to me around 4 o'clock as I was getting things ready, and he surprised me, and he said he wanted to make dinner that night. He'd never done that before. And I was sick and tired of making dinner every night. So I said, sure, Junior, you take the lead, and I'll help you out. And he did a great job. He made this massive bowl of spaghetti for everybody. And in the midst of doing that, he poured a whole jar of applesauce into it. So you had applesauce, spaghetti sauce, and spaghetti, and it was weirdly good. So I have not tried it yet since then, though. But as we were making dinner, and as Junior was leading us and serving us, the power dynamic shifted quite a bit, if you can imagine that. Our roles shifted. And I think in a lot of ways, it was a reflection of the kingdom of God that turns our expectations upside down. At the core of service, at the core of love is service. Service is love. We are all God's children. And all of God's children have something to give. And all of God's children have something to receive. And that's why we believe that we are called to serve those here and beyond our borders in Des Moines and around the world. We practice love and service with our hands and feet, and we practice love and service with our words and our welcome. that's a big piece, I believe, of how we experience God together in our church. The call to love the stranger, the call to serve the stranger here and beyond our borders, and love our neighbor as ourselves. This is as relevant today as it has ever been. Now, because of our mission statement, in a lot of ways, we as Des Moines Mennonite Church were one of two churches in the city that sponsored a special event 2 weeks ago put on by the U.S. Committee for Refugees and Immigrants. And I was lucky enough to attend this on our behalf, and it was a wonderful time of enjoying drink and food offered by different communities that have settled in Des Moines. But most importantly, it was an opportunity to learn about the experience of being a stranger in this land, in this city. We heard stories this evening of being uprooted from home because of violence and war. We heard stories of arriving here and the extreme culture shock that occurs as families integrate and find their way. We heard stories of individuals working through trauma. We heard stories of welcome, hospitality, and new education opportunities. We heard stories of families dreaming again about what new possibilities are being opened up for them and their children in the United States. And for the vast majority of the audience who have not experienced what it means to be uprooted from home and have to start life over in a new land, we were able to listen and learn and receive wisdom and courage from these incredibly resilient people. And it moved me. There's a debate in our country as old as the Declaration itself about how to respond to strangers when they cross our borders and come to be our neighbors. And our policies and practices take on different shapes and sizes as the winds of politics blow in different directions at different times. And I know that among us, we may not all agree on what those policies and practices should be. But I've always been inspired by what I think is the ideal response, and it's found on the poem written on the Statue of Liberty in New York City. And there's one line that says this: "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free." Those words are written by the Jewish poet Emma Lazarus. And she was inspired by the Jewish experience of migration and longing for home, a place to call home, an experience that first began on the way between Egypt and the Promised Land, the very experience that is behind our scripture today in Deuteronomy. "You shall also love the stranger, for you were strangers in the land of Egypt." Those words of scripture, that commandment of God, directly inspired the words, "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free," written on the statue. And our country has never lived up to this ideal, no matter who's in charge. But we don't have ideals because we achieve them easily. We have them because that's what we want to aim for. And if we're honest with ourselves, we always fall short of our ideals as a nation, sure, but more importantly to us as a church, as Christians, as ordinary people in our regular daily lives, you and me. But those ideals, whether they're on a statue, in scripture, or in our mission statement, they are there to challenge us and inspire us. To serve the stranger, to love the neighbor, is hard work. It requires empathy and commitment and sacrifice, but it's central to our mission as followers in the way of Jesus. Our commitment in the mission statement to aim for our best is rooted in that biblical calling, and it grows out of the story of this congregation. As followers of Jesus Christ, we serve those within and beyond our borders because we were once strangers in a strange land, because we are all children of God. Let's pray. God of love and justice, you have called on us to love the strangers in our midst, and you have showed us the way. May we do what we can to serve others, and may we be advocates for hospitality and mercy with our words and actions. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.